Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Monday edition of Birds 365. We're joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff Kerr, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, guys. Great Monday. Phillies are in first place. Best record in baseball. Yeah, it's a pretty good day.
Yeah, and you're telling me people still want Rob Thompson fired at times.
They do.
You set a record for wins, and you know, nobody's ever happy. What happened to the world?
You know what? You know what the best part about someone like Rob Thompson is? Like, he hears all this stuff too, so it makes it pretty entertaining.
That's probably not a good idea when you set records and you're being that successful. And yeah, it's probably a good idea to drown out the criticism, I would say.
Yeah, he don't care. I'll just say that.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't. But I digress. So Eagles rookie camp, you were there. Exciting to see the guys on the field for the first time, but not much you could see. We're only out there for 15 minutes or so. So I kind of look for themes, Jeff. The veteran tryout players, I think, stood out to me from the standpoint of that tells me they're still looking for something, and it tells me they're looking for speed at wide receiver, and obviously they need a linebacker, which should be no surprise to anybody, even with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And by the way, for the Jersey people, that's the one you can lock in, 54, and maybe you can get your old Trot jerseys, but your themes of rookie camp.
Yeah, John, I actually like how you pointed out the veterans, Jakeem Grant, John Ross. It does seem like they're trying to find a diamond in the rough somewhere, or a guy that's looking to extend his NFL career, try to get some speed there. I agree. I just don't see a lot of speed at the receiver position. Now, again, we're really nitpicking here.
Yeah. But Nick made so much of Quez Watkins over the years and his speed and ability to space the field. And for, a lot of people roll their eyes at that kind of stuff, but spacing is a big part of sports. It's a big part of NFL offenses. It's a big part of NBA offenses. That's what people try to do. In football, they try to space out the field and put defenders in conflict. So it may not show up in the box score, but it is meaningful to have somebody that can scare the so-called pop the top on the defense. So, they got to carry him down the field. And if they're carrying him down the field, that opens up things underneath. It does make sense from a logical standpoint.
Yeah. And I think too, if Smith is healthy and there's Smith, I think that changes a lot of this, because when I'm watching tape of him, I do see that speed they're looking for.
He does look faster on film, but he ran a 4.55, and that ain't good for an NFL receiver. Now, he's also dealing with, he called it an ankle. They called it a shin at the combine, whatever it is. He's still trying to come back from that, but yeah, he's not somebody who, he's not Tyreek Hill, let's put it that way. There are a few who could just flat out run past people. So I don't think they had that player, and I think they're still looking for that player. But we are nitpicking. They have great wide receivers. They have an all-pro, and they got another guy who's really good, maybe the best second wide receiver, too, in the NFL. So, but this is a good team on paper, so what else are we going to do if we don't nitpick?
Well, we can nitpick their lack of attention to linebacker.
Well, yeah. Do that. Yeah. So what do you know about Shaq Quarterman or anything? You know, he's with Jacksonville for 4 years on his rookie deal, the former fourth round pick. But I mean, he's still unsigned. That's not a positive sign, is it? And he's a tryout player at a rookie camp.
Yeah, it's I'm not too keen on that one. You know what? You might as well just go with Ben Van Sumeren at this point and give him a shot.
Yeah, that's an issue. I got a big problem with linebacker. And I keep going back to Peyton Wilson in Pittsburgh because I saw, somebody's great. Everybody's got grades. But, Adam Kaplan, our buddy Adam Kaplan. Was saying scouts around the league are raving about the Pittsburgh draft, which doesn't surprise me because I raved about it the day after. And I said, "Oof, that looks good on paper." And Peyton Wilson's a part of that. If he's healthy. And he went four spots after the Eagles took Jalix Hunt. You need a linebacker.
And you're redshirting Jalix Hunt, essentially, this year. Now, Jalix Hunt could be this amazing difference maker, but is he going to be that in 2024?
No. They admit that, by the way. The Eagles admitted that. This is a developmental guy, essentially.
You know, we're talking about linebacker, too. So a couple of my sources in Tampa Bay, they were asking me about, hey, have you seen Devin White yet? And I said, well, no, we haven't had our portion of that. And they said, well, you might want to know about this. Levante David gives them a lot of information. He put this on record. He said, Devin White can be a little sensitive at times. And I said, okay.
Well, he's taken a lot of hits over the years, criticism-wise, so I get that. And he's going to take some more here. So, I mean, it's worse here than in Tampa. So we'll see if that becomes an issue. But
yeah. A lot of Bucs fans like him, though, because he's one of those guys too. It's almost like here he won them a championship and he played a big role in that postseason.
He played a huge role. He was the best player on the team. I tell Xander all the time. It's one of the biggest anomalies I've ever seen. He had such a great run. He dominated defensively against Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. That was their gauntlet to the Super Bowl. He was unbelievable, and he's never done it before or after. It's weird. It is weird.
He's a big-game player. Might be a big-game player.
Well, you got to get to the big games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he did it on their run, maybe that's what the Eagles can get. Jeff, any chance – we're speaking of the linebackers. Any chance Jeremiah Trotter strikes lightning and has a big rookie campaign and he can step up into that role? Or
he's going to get an opportunity. I know that. I mean – where we want him to or not, that's going to happen. I'm rooting for the kid just because I like his old man a lot. I've talked to his old man. I like the pick. I like where the pick was. It's just, I'm just worried about they're going to throw him into the fire. You guys remember Macho Harris when he was here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like
Macho Harris, I believe.
Yeah. I thought he was a fine player in college and they just didn't have a safety. So they threw him to the wolves first couple weeks and it was terrible. You never heard from him again. I hope it's not the same with Trotter, but you know, the way the linebacker situation's played out here, especially if Nakobe Dean gets hurt, who's to say Jeremiah Trotter is not starting for this team as early as he can?
Boy, he does have a path. I've talked about it, but they Oren Burks, my guess is, you know, he can be serviceable. They do have Ben Van Sumeren, who when thrown to the Wolves last year, late in the season, showed that he picked up some things, at least. I don't think they're going to throw him to the Wolves, but they might have to. And if they have to, Yeah, that's probably going to be a problem.
And yeah, hopefully, that might mean yeah, more bad for the Eagles than it is good for Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Yeah. Hopefully they won't have to. Hopefully N'Kobe stays healthy. Devin White is at least competent. And, you know, they turn into TJ Edwards and Kaiser White and they never leave the field. That's the hope. But hope is not a strategy, as Howie always says. I got to bring up Saquon Barkley. You love it. Penn State. Howie has been doing the rounds, national rounds. He was on the, I forget which show, Adam something, Adam Shine maybe.
Oh, he was on Adam Shine's show.
Yeah, week. Adam Shine's show. Sorry, Adam.
Pat McAfee. He had a good segment on Pat McAfee's show as well.
It was on McAfee. On Adam's show, though, he mentioned, and I've said this, you know, when everybody zigs, sometimes you got to zag. He's mentioned it in the past. Now, with Saquon, he said that again about Saquon. You know, there's always risk in decision, but there's not risk with the talent, he said. And sometimes when everybody's zigging, you got to zag. Howie was one of the ones who made everybody zig. Is this next level stuff, Jeff? He set up the whole league. Oh, no, you got to devalue this position. You got to devalue this position. You got to devalue this position. It's not worth it. And when everybody gets to that point in agreement, he goes the other way. Is he that far ahead of everybody else?
I think he is. I mean, it was funny, too, that week before Barkley came here. Barkley was interested in coming here, and you know, it was more of, okay, well, are the Eagles interested, because they knew the history of running backs? And then when you start hearing the Eagles are interested, you're like, oh, this could be a thing. Which, and again, it's not like you signed Saquon Barkley to this massive 5-year deal here. It's really, it's a 3-year deal, but it's really a 2-year deal,
right? Yeah,
so you're really paying for 2 prime years of Saquon Barkley's career, and the Eagles are looking at it as, okay, we saw this guy too. Even 1 year, we saw him 3 times a year. This guy is a generational player.
Why is he, though?
To them, he is.
Why? Where's the evidence of this?
Here's my defense of him. When you play behind the worst, the shittiest offensive line I've ever seen in the last, I'll even say this century, you're not going to succeed. And I think he was the sole reason why that team made the divisional round. Everybody says Daniel Jones. I say him.
I'll say this. I think he could be a generational talent. He does not have generational results, which is probably what John's going off of, which, yeah, I understand. You know, he doesn't have – but as to your point, he played for the New York Giants. They're not world beaters on offense, and they haven't been for a long time.
But John covered Adrian Peterson too. And well, John's total generational talent.
That's true. Yeah, Adrian Peterson is a rookie. Remember, he was – I don't know. He was a top 10 pick. I think he was 7th. I'd have to double check. But so he was coming in. He was on a bad team. Minnesota didn't have that pick because of a trade or anything. They earned it. They weren't very good at the time. They didn't have a good offensive line. They had a terrible quarterback situation. His rookie year, 1,341 yards, 5.6 yards per carry, 12 touchdowns. That, and I got to see that guy. I had a front row seat for that guy. And he won the MVP in an era where you don't win MVPs as running backs with Christian Ponder as the quarterback. And he averaged 6 yards per carry. Guys, I've never seen a team convert 3rd and 8 with a run, with a heavy box. He did it. That's a generational talent.
Well, he was the best run. He was the best player in that 07 draft. When everything was, remember Jake Long went number one. I think it was, did Chris Long go to, I'm trying to remember the draft, but I kept saying, Adrian Peterson's the best player. Why isn't he going higher? And fell into their lap.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, he was the 7th pick, so it was still pretty high. But that was the Jamarcus Russell draft.
That's right. You know. That's right. That was the draft.
So obviously, but Calvin Johnson went number 2. He's already in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Adrian will be, but it has not been eligible yet because he hung around way too long. Joe Thomas is in the Hall of Fame. He was the third pick. Gaines Adams. Remember Gaines Adams?
The Bucks, right?
Yeah, what a disaster. Levi Brown, disaster.
I know Levi Brown well, too. It's
Penn State guy.
He was a great – I'll tell you what. He was a guy that we didn't think he was going to get drafted high. I was a freshman in college, and Levi was a senior, and we didn't think he was going to get drafted as high as he did, but there was something people liked him. Like, okay, he's a first-round pick. I don't know if he's five.
Yeah. That well, yeah, he certainly wasn't. Not the first poor decision by the Arizona Cardinals. Then LeRon Landry went, pretty good player, and Adrian Peterson. Already, that draft has Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas, Patrick Williams, Darrell Revis in the Hall of Fame. And Adrian will certainly be there, probably first ballot. Not probably, definitely first ballot. But, yeah, I mean, watching a guy like I hear all the excuses. I acknowledge all the excuses. I even say they're good explanations because Saquon has played behind a terrible offensive line with a, I think Daniel Jones is mediocre. I don't think he's a disaster. Tommy DeVito's a disaster, and that's what he was dealing with last year. Daniel Jones is competent, at least now in the stage of his career. But I've seen guys overcome all that. And if you're that good, as people says, you overcome it. I'm sorry. You just do.
Well, he did have 2,100 yards from scrimmage his rookie year.
Yes. And then he became.
And he got hurt.
Yeah. And he got hurt. And that's what happens. And, you know, even it could be a half a step. It could be a quarter of a step. But he's going to have a chance to prove it this year. So he can tell McMullen's an asshole. McMullen's wrong. I didn't play with that. Because there are no excuses, Jeff Kerr.
Well, here's where I'll back you up, John. When the Eagles played the Giants in the divisional playoffs 2 years ago, remember in the fourth quarter, Saquon broke a run? And I said, oh, he's gone. And he wasn't gone. He got caught. And yeah. I said, Saquon don't get caught. I've watched Saquon his whole life. I know the guy. He just doesn't get caught. He got caught. So I'm like, he lost something. I still think he's a good player.
Think he's a good player too, but I think there's this because of where he went in the draft. There's this, and I don't think he's a generational player. I don't.
Here's my biggest concern with Saquon, and it's not talent related. It's how is he going to be used in Philadelphia? It's Kellen Moore is coming into, you know, his first year as an offensive coordinator. He's got weapons all over the place. Jalen Hurts doesn't really throw to running backs out of the backfield. So how is he going to be used here to get the most out of this talent? I think the talent is there. John, I don't even know if you'll disagree with that. Whether he lost a step, I think, can be debated. But how are they going to use him? Is it going to be worth the contract with – there's one football. There's two wide receivers who are 1,000-plus yard wide receivers. You got a playmaking quarterback. Where's the production going to come from with him at running back? Is it just handing the ball off on first down? Is it, you know, what does that look like? That would be my biggest concern. It's not really talent related with him.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, because to me, Saquon's a guy that he needs the ball. You know, he needs to get the ball in space. That's where I think he's the most deadly. But you're right. Xander, he just doesn't throw the ball. Jalen just doesn't throw the ball to running backs that well. He never has. That's why I think part of it was with DeAndre Swift's issues last year. I thought he was going to be this massive 60, 70 catch guy out of the backfield.
30 catches. He had 33 catches last year.
Yeah. And you know what? You could tell it frustrated DeAndre Swift at times. That's not his game, you know, being the role he was in. But Saquon can carry a football 20, 25 games. Times game if you need him to. But I agree. I think you got to find this guy the ball in space. I mean, when he beat Nolan Smith in that Week 18 game last year, it's like, look, that's the mismatch you want, right? But can Jalen get the ball to him? And I think that's part of the reason why Saquon's here. It's to free up AJ, to free up Devonta, to free up Dallas, to create something that they felt they didn't have last year with DeAndre Swift. That's why that's where I think he's really going to make his impact going forward.
And he may, and I've talked about it, it's sort of another intangible. I think, you know, people think he's going to get 1,600 yards and 80 catches. I don't think that's happening, but I do think there's an opportunity to impact the game with his presence, as you kind of mentioned, Jeff. But that's the kind of stuff that I always use the word esoteric. That's a little bit esoteric. And people want to see those numbers. I don't think you're going to see those numbers, Jeff. And I don't think, more importantly, you want to see those numbers.
Would you take 1,100 yards, 500 receiving yards?
Oh, yeah.
Saquon? Yeah, I think that's more than fair.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get the 500 receiving yards. And all signs point to the Eagles don't want to give him the ball 25 times a game to run the ball. Jeffrey Lurie wouldn't be happy with that. We all know that. So that's where I struggle with.
Starts with the guy. And for people that watch Eagles Unfiltered, they got to see the Eagles streaming show. They got to see Jeffrey Lurie in the war room. He's pretty invested.
Yes, he is.
Would it bug you guys if your boss was in the war room like he is?
Yeah. But what can you do? It's his team. What are you going to do?
And, I mean, it probably doesn't bug Rose, like bug other people.
I'll tell you what, that Cooper DeJean pick's like, after watching that unscripted, that looked like a Jeffrey Lurie pick, that Cooper DeJean pick.
I'm still mad over the Cooper DeJean basketball highlights. I'm like, they don't do that man justice. That man can shoot. That man can throw. Yeah. We're showing his dunks.
Yeah. But his dunks are so impressive. That's why
he's 6'1". Athleticism, yeah.
He's 6'1", and that's – tremendous explosion off the floor. But getting back to Jeffrey, and that was an interesting question, Jeff. Would that bother you? Could you imagine if the Eagles had a young GM and you had that presence? That to me is another example of why Eagles fans should thank their lucky stars that Jeffrey found somebody he likes and is comfortable with. Because if you had a revolving door at GM with this team, like most other teams, and you had a constant younger, inexperienced presence with that kind of, you know, stamp, that would be difficult. That would be really difficult in my estimation.
I feel like when you have a really good relationship with your boss or an owner, in this case, like Lurie and Roseman, you can look past it. And I've noticed this in Washington too. Dan?
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
Quinn and Adam Peters, because they're first-year guys, they're really close. And I asked Quinn, you know, how involved is Josh Harris in all this? And he said, you know what, he's kind of letting us do our thing, and you know, we kind of appreciate that. So
yeah, well, he's got four different teams he's worried about. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's all too worried about where he's too worried about where Joel Embiid's healthy for the time for the play, or buying Sixers tickets to Knicks fans. By the way, it didn't keep him out.
Yeah. No, no, it did not. Oh, the Sixers are a mess. Boy, I could do another two-hour show on the mess that is the Sixers.
John, but,
Johnny Mack had an epic rant on the Sixers on Friday a couple times.
I heard. Oh, by the way, John, you would have enjoyed, as a season ticket holder of the Sixers, my whole row was Knicks fans, and it wasn't a pleasant night for them. Let's just put that.
Yeah. Well, hey, the Knicks, you know, by the way, I do think – I kind of depend, and as I rip the Sixers, as Xander says, I don't rip them for the ticket thing. The Knicks have been so god awful for so long. Their fan base was way more excited.
Yeah, that's true. That's good context right there.
Yeah. And Sixers fans have been used to this one and done, two and out at the best being the ceiling. They're kind of tired of seeing the same movie. So those franchises are in different states.
The Knicks are what the Sixers fans thought we were in 18 and 19.
In the early part of the Joel Embiid era.
And I told a couple of them on Thursday night when they're like, oh, we beat the Sixers. I'm like, congrats, I guess. Like,
that's not that impressive.
I was like, would you win the NBA Finals or something? They're like, oh, you're just bare. I'm like, no, I don't care. That's the difference.
Yeah. So, you know. I don't want to get, you know, the Sixers think I criticize them too much. So there's some valuable context. I'm defending them. So there you go, Sixers. But getting it back to the Eagles, because that's what we do here. Nick Sirianni got asked the Mekhi Becton question. Would you consider starting him at right guard? You know, kind of play defense, kind of bend it at all. Do you think that's a possibility? Mekhi Becton at right guard.
Jets were trying him there. They wanted to try him there at one point, and I guess they kind of backed off on it. So the Eagles have moved tackles to guards before, even pre-Jeff Stoutland. So I'm not against it. I mean, to me, right guard's open. Like, Tyler Steen's locker could be with the starters.
Yeah, but all they want. So much emphasis on that. Like, oh, now he's locked in because of his locker. I mean, come on, people.
Is Becton too big, though? Maybe he's not. Jalen Hurts isn't Justin Herbert, right? He's 6 foot, 6 foot one. He's not the tallest quarterback in the world. That's a big offensive line. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But to me, it seems like you have Anaya Smith in the slot.
I thought you were going to go the other way with this. Like, oh, is Mekhi Becton too big to play guard because he's just too big to play guard?
You know, is he too big to play guard on the inside there? I mean, he might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Can he make the pools? Can he make, you know, what? I'll just compare it to a draft pick. Cooper Beebe, for example. Can he move as quick as him? Probably not. So that'd be my concern. But I think he would make Lane Johnson and Cam Jurgens' life a lot easier if he could master it. And I think that's why he's here. I think they're willing to try him at a bunch of different spots. And look, right guard is open. I don't think Tyler Steen has his job on lock by any means.
Yeah, I don't either.
No. And by the way, he shouldn't. There should be competition. The only question is, where does it come from? And I think there will be competition. It might come from Matt Hennessy. It might come from Mekhi Becton. Might even come from Keegan, unlikely, but you can't just hand the job to Tyler Steen. I think that would be silly. And even people go back to last year with Cam Jurgens and, you know, Nick not saying he was the starter for a very long time, but that wasn't really a competition. I mean, he took every first team rep, but he still wouldn't admit it. Here, I think you're going to see other players get first team reps at some point in training camp. I do believe that. I don't think it's just going to be day one, Tyler Steen, nobody else pushing. But I do think it will get the first rep at right guard, though. I do think
I was asked this week, is James Bradbury's locked or something like Darius? I'm like, how would I know that? And one, who cares? Like, you know what? To me, this is what I tell fans all the time. James Bradbury is a starter and is on this roster until he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make you make a prediction, though, Jeff. Speaking of James Bradbury.
Yeah, here we go.
do you think he's going to be here? I mean, if you're the GM of this team, are you keeping him here? You just drafted two defensive backs with your top 40 picks. I mean, everybody's been criticizing the guy. I think he's valuable to at least keep in the room. Even if you don't start him, keep him in the room. He's been in the league a long time. Quinyon Mitchell can learn something from the guy. But you know how fans in Philly get when they don't like a player. They don't like a player. You know, are they going to run him out of town, or are the Eagles going to get rid of him?
I just keep telling myself it can't be any worse than what he was last year. I'm arrogant enough. I keep him around because you can never have too many corners. But after this year, sayonara.
Yeah, they got a big room, and I do think they have Vic Fangio this year. And I'm not the highest on his style of defense, but I will say I think he will know how to use James Bradbury to get the most out of James Bradbury for whatever is left of the player. I think Vic will get that out of him. So from that perspective, I would say at the least keep him on the roster.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I've said from the start, I think James would have a bounce back year with Vic. But now that they drafted a corner, I don't think he's going to be here. To your point of being, if you're a backup quarterback corner, you have to play special teams. And
she don't do.
He's not going to do, nor should he. And you have Kelly Ringo, who's a tremendous special teams player. Josh Jobs, a tremendous special teams player. How many corners are you going to keep?
You know what? Josh Jobs is going to be an interesting one. Because
Isaiah Rogers might be your kickoff returner. You know,
I keep trying to tell fans this. Can we like temper the expectations on Isaiah Rogers?
Well, now they have, because now they have Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So yeah. Now Isaiah's who cares?
Yeah, when he first got reinstated, everybody was ready to start him and, you know, make him the next great thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a rough week for me on social media, because I kept trying to tell people, you guys do know we could have reapply for reinstatement the day after the Super Bowl. No, it has to be this. I'm like, are you like trying to tell me that I'm wrong?
It's funny because I, you know, so many people, they speak with such certainty.
Conviction.
And conviction. And I'm like, I talked to Brian McCarthy. He not only is eligible for those people that don't know, he's the NFL's chief PR guy. And he's the one who handles all the questions and things like that. And he said, no, yeah, he's still under advisement. Still wouldn't believe it. No, you have to do that. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, same thing. Like I emailed the league, McCarthy, you know, you could send him a text. I mean, he gets back to you. So yeah. I'm like, but they tell me I need to do research.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. You got to live with it. Part of the job.
Yep, exactly.
Sure, CBS. Make sure you follow Jeff on X, Twitter. Read him at CBS Sports. Does a tremendous job covering the Phillies as well locally. Let's talk about the Tom Brady Netflix roast.
I didn't get to see it yet.
But
I saw some clips of it. I didn't watch it live, but no, I did.
I didn't watch
some,
it live, but
I saw Nikki Glaser's clip. I saw that.
Nikki's phenomenal. For those who don't like comedy and are just understanding Nikki Glaser's the Tom Brady of roasts, that's how I would describe it. She's the all-time best when it comes to roast. A couple Philly references. I think, you know, Tom had a very negative thing to say about Philly fans that I'm sure they'll like. It's all good natured. It's all jokes.
Yeah, I saw Berman's tweet. I guess Zach was watching it last night.
Bill Belichick got a lot of praise for his set. There was a joke about Bill becoming the Eagles head coach next year, which people will take too seriously.
I'm buying it. I'm buying Bill Belichick to Philly.
I don't want that man anywhere near. Okay, you want my honest opinion on the Tom Brady roast? This is what happens when a franchise is irrelevant. They're not relevant anymore. Their glory years. The Patriot way was the Brady way. I'm telling you, the one thing I'm rooting for in life is Andy Reid to catch and pass Bill Belichick in Super Bowls and championships. That's what I'm rooting for.
I will say that Jeffrey Lurie, it's funny because, you know, Eagles fans hate the Patriots so much. They cheated, blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady wouldn't shake Nick Foles' hand, all that kind of stuff. Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman love Bill Belichick, and they love the Patriots organization. And they have tremendous respect for it. And they talked to Bill, as is now reported. But he'll be 73, 72. He'll be 73 in April of next year. Even if Nick Sirianni falls flat on his face and the Eagles are looking for a new head coach, where's the evidence that Jeffrey Lurie wants the big name? He goes the opposite direction. He wants the young unknown.
Yeah, they've never. The only time they've gone after the big name, it fell flat on their face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, though, when Jeffrey Lurie looks at this roster of talent and sees the amount of great players, do you wonder what a guy like Bill Belichick can do? I do. I do. I got to be honest. I do. I mean, I look at AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. I mean, it's an all people
are calling. Is Tom Brady coming back? That's what I want to know.
I doubt that, right? Jalen Hurts is.
we can start that rumor. Tom Brady to the Eagles.
Why don't we bring Adrian Peterson back while we're at there, John?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Everybody can help the Eagles. Every Brady big team can help the Eagles. Every single one of them.
It's like Madden.
Yeah. The big names are done. For this season, maybe until there's an injury, then you'll have Justin Simmons. I don't want to get people excited. Jeff Kerr, good stuff as usual, doing a tremendous job. And I forgot to mention the tryout players last year. Do you remember the player? They signed one tryout player. Do you remember who that was? You are a true football aficionado.
You know what? I would have to think longer than this show. So go ahead, John.
Charleston Rambo.
That's right. It was Charleston. I always gave him the tryout guy.
Yeah, he was a tryout guy. And how meaningful was that? So if the Eagles, they're going to sign a tryout guy because you want to send that message of, hey, if you work hard, you know, you'll be rewarded. But I wouldn't get too excited. I want to temper that.
You know what, John? This is why sometimes, like, you know how, and I'm going to be writing about this too, how Johnny Wilson, you know, that he has no reason to lie to you, but about the whole wide receiver tight end thing. And maybe it's just me covering different sports, but I literally talked to Trey Turner Friday night, who said, it'll be a couple days, maybe a week. And then you hear from other players. I'll probably go on the IL, be back in 2 weeks. Yeah, it ended up being six. So sometimes take everything you hear with a grain of salt.
Well, I can say the Eagles have no plans on moving him.
Well, then there you go. So,
but then, as I always say with that kind of stuff, they have no plans right now when there's 90 people on the roster. They had no plans of moving Nolan Smith, the off-ball linebacker, last year. Remember, that was a conversation. No plans. Yeah. Ultimately, in season, they had to do it because you're whittled down to 53 for a short period of time. And sometimes you have to go with the flow and you got to figure things out in the moment. But, you know, Nick Sirianni and Howie they went on the record saying, no, he's a wide receiver, blah, blah, blah. Now, you saw him. He's a big dude, man.
He's a really big dude. He's got out there.
And he's got room on his frame to add weight if he wants to. So it could be a situation where he moves down the road or something like that, but they want to see him as a wide receiver first. And we'll see how it shakes out.
His body does move. He does move his body like a right wide receiver, I will say. When you watch some of his tape, he's very athletic. He does move well for his
A lot of his games at Florida State, you're like, could he play tight end? I don't know. And someone even mentioned that to me. That like, someone sent me a clip. It actually wasn't a clip. It was like a half of a Florida State game on YouTube. And he said, watch this and tell me what you think. And I did. And I said, I don't see tight end. But that's just me.
Well, Jeppin can't block anybody. It's ironic. I mean, he's not going to block, but as a wide receiver, he's a good blocker. So if he's out there blocking cornerbacks, he can use his will.
That was one thing I really liked what they did in this draft. And look, I know to me, everything after round two is their lottery tickets, but you kind of addressed depth at wide receiver, even if Smith and Wilson don't make the roster, which I think they will, but getting two wide receivers that late, I think, really helps them.
Well, there is still a huge drop-off from AJ and Devontae, but doesn't there have to be?
Yeah, you're paying them.
Yeah, I mean, how many receivers, star receivers, can you have?
I like the two guys they drafted, but John, you've talked about how much they value having the speed guy. Part of me wonders why they didn't just draft the speed guy, even if you didn't know how great of a receiver it was going to be, if they value this. Maybe there wasn't any left. Maybe there wasn't a guy there that checked.
I'm trying to think who was left.
I mean, they drafted two receivers. You have AJ Devontae, and now you're bringing in guys to try out who are.
Maybe they figured they drafted guys like John Hightower that low, and it just didn't work out.
Well, John Hightower, he was actually taken in the fifth round. Quez Watkins was taken in the same draft in the sixth round. Yeah. So Quez contributed a lot more than John Hightower.
And Jalen Reagor was taken to the first round of that.
By the way, that's one thing I wish we got stopped on social media too. A sixth-round pick is not a bust. A seventh-round pick is not a bust. To me, Quez Watkins is far from a bust. He's in his fifth year.
I say it all the time. Quez Watkins is a unmitigated success as a sixth-round pick.
Did anybody pick Quez up this year?
Pittsburgh did.
Pittsburgh
on him.
Andy Waddle.
Andy Waddle, yeah.
Yeah, Andy Waddle's just taking everybody the Eagles wanted.
Yeah, Jeff, before I let you go, I do want to ask you one question on the Philadelphia Phillies. Are they getting too hot too early in the season yet? I know they're red hot. They look good, but it's a streaky game, so are they too hot too early?
I don't believe that. To me, this is exactly what they preached to me in spring training. This is what they've been preaching all year. This is what got Bryce Harper red when I asked him if they were pressing, and he just looked at me and goes, come on, Jeff, man, 16 games. Well, since then, and it's funny now because every time I see him, he kind of smiles because, they're 13 over 500. This is one of the best starts they've ever had. I mean, they can play 500 ball the rest of the year and win 89 games, I think. Or 88. I can't remember.
That would be a disappointment.
It
would be an immense disappointment. They did that.
That's a 100 win team. They
got a great start. Okay, this is the Phillies drama right now. How can you take Spencer Turnbull out of the rotation because their rotation has been that good? Like, everybody's complaining about Walker. Walker's been giving them solid starts for six innings, and they're 15-1. I think it's like 18-1 now.
I will never get used to it, Jeff. And I'm old, obviously. I will never get used to starting pitchers getting taken out after 5 1/3, not giving anything up. I will never get used to it. I'm like, what are we doing?
This weekend was like, we're all like, okay, like, this team is fun. We love talking to these guys, but something needs to get spiced up. Well, then Trey Turner got it. So. Yeah, now it's okay. Is Bryson's not going to play? Sure, they're going to move him over there. He hasn't really had a chance to field grounders there because the field's been covered in tarp. And
I think they're going to go Sosa to start, right? They're going to put Sosa in there.
They're going to put Sosa in. I think it's going to be the majority at Mundo Sosa, but they want to play Whit Merrifield. You pay him $8 million and he's starting to hit the ball. So that Whit can play second. Whit has volunteered to play short. I don't think that's going to be an option. So it's going to be like Sosa. Stott mixed in there, and JT's going to be the two here. I mean, really, who's got to step up are the JT Realmutos, the Nick Castellanos, this other one. Nick Castellanos is best. That's how you got to – not like you got to repeat Trey Turner's production here, but just certain guys got to step up. Even Bryce Harper, he's got to step up a little bit. And he did last night, so.
Yeah, big home run last night for Bryce, three-run shot. So good stuff. Jeff Kerr, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it, as always.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
That's Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. I want to remind everybody in the chat room to like the show, as it's the best thing you can do to help Birds 365 grow. Good stuff from Jeff Kerr. There are a couple things John and I will kick around. I want to get back into the Saquon Barkley talk and the Bill Belichick talk. I want to get John's opinion on that. I love it. I love the idea of Bill Belichick in Philly. I know it's unlikely, but I do like it.
Well, I'm, you know, I'm not one to say he's not a great coach. I think people who think, you know, that stupid argument up, but was it Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? It was both, but
it was both, right?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's the greatest coach of all time, but he is. I'm also realistic. He's going to be 73 next April. You know,
yeah. So even if you do get him, how long are you going to have him for? I guess exactly. That's a conversation. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, we'll kick all that around. Coming up next on Birds 365, and then hour number two coming up in about 13 minutes. Les Bowen from contributing now on PHLY and has lesbowensjohn.com. So stay tuned. We'll be with you on the other side on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.